They called him Jesus. He came to love, to heal and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon, an empty grave is there to prove my Jesus lives, because
good morning, everyone. Blessings to you and your families. This is the Because He Lives program, brought to you with the kind compliments of Federal Motor Spirits as well as the Barbados District of the Nazarene Church. My name is Ryan Mathurin, and with me this morning I have Reverend Pastor Carl Barker, as he likes to be called, just Carl. And we're going to be sharing on the topic of freedom. I know Pastor Carl has a lot to share. So start the batting going. And my first question to you, Pastor Carl, would be, what is the real meaning of this word we call freedom? We hear it a lot these days. Freedom of choice, freedom of movement, freedom of immigration. What does freedom really mean?
Well, I believe that I am free to say thanks to the Church of the Nazarene for accommodating us at Family First Freedom Barbados. This word freedom, the definition given by the dictionary is the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. And it is interesting that many dictionaries tend to give differing versions of freedom, because freedom, as I often say, is one of the most misunderstood words in the dictionary. Sometimes when we think of freedom, we believe that freedom is the power to do whatever we want, whenever we want, and however we want. And I would say I'm free. But from the time I left home this evening and I stepped into the vehicle, I was not free to leave my seatbelt off so long as the engine was running. Mm. And then I could not drive on the right-hand side of the road. Mm-hmm. They have me restricted.
Yes.
I had to comply on pain of being prosecuted. Mm-hmm. So therefore, we ask the question, what really is this thing called freedom? You know, and when I understand that even God himself, even though we have, would be the only person that I would say who has absolute freedom, he has still decided to limit himself in certain degrees, in that I could say probably the easiest thought that comes to mind is a sinner deciding to come to God in penitence. God is not free to reject.
Amen.
So
Amen.
That is something that we look at in terms of freedom. And therefore, it begs the question, really, what is true freedom?
I want to tell you something you said that was really crucial. You mentioned the fact that when you get into your vehicle, as we all do, those of us who are blessed to have a vehicle of our own, we have to comply with the laws and the regulations of this land. And I want you to basically, if you can break down a little further, what are the pros and cons? And you mentioned this before your opening statement. What are the pros and cons to freedom? And the reason I'm asking you this is that I wonder sometimes if we understand that in order to have a society moving, a society functioning, we cannot have absolute freedom for every individual. Yet, there are certain freedoms we should have so we're able to live together well. So could you break that down a little further, Pastor? All right.
There are some aspects of freedom that the government cannot even, not even the government cannot get, can give us within our society. And what way do I say that? Now, I can leave here if I choose. And if I wanted to drive into town by the central bank, Tom Adams Financial Center, whatever it is, and if I were able to climb to the 10th floor, I have freedom to jump if I want to. But my problem is that I do not have freedom to decide what is going to happen when I hit the ground. So when we understand freedom, we have to understand that it is not just a matter of doing what you want. It is a matter of understanding that the consequences you cannot control. You can control the choice, but you cannot control the consequence. Look at it this way. A parent speaking to a child and asking him to be more diligent in terms of doing homework and studying. Mm-hmm. And the child is vexed because the parent seems to be annoying him all the time. But what the parent really is doing is giving him freedom in later years to be able to earn a living. So you have to understand that the choices that you make at one stage is going to affect what is going to happen later on. Mm-hmm. So it is always good to remember that choice, that freedom is choice, but the choices that we make can make or break us, so to speak.
Amen, amen. There's something I want to expand on, but I'll leave that for further on in this interview. I would like you to break down, if you could, what are some of the advantages of freedom? Some of the benefits of the freedom that many of us hold fast to, especially in Barbados.
We want to be able to worship as we please. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I would hope that everybody would worship Jesus Christ as Lord and Master, but that is a choice. And God has given us that choice, and we can't take it away from people. So that is one of the aspects of freedom, that we want to be able to do that. We want to be able to, you know, raise our families without interference. We want to be able to pass on our values. These are things that we want to be able to do. We want to be able to be, you know, to walk the road without being molested, what have you. Mm-hmm. So these are things that we want, we believe that we should be able to do. We should be able to earn a living without interference and so on. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, you have to understand that there must be restrictions. If I go back to the example that I used earlier about driving on the right-hand side of the road, the government has taken away my freedom. Mm. But in taking away my freedom, it has stopped me from encountering the 18-wheeler coming around the corner. Mm. So, you know, it is a matter of using common sense and wisdom and understanding that freedom is not just something that we, you know, we can take willy-nilly and do as we like.
There's an expression that comes to mind. It's one that I love the, what we call the old time Barbadian sayings. There's one that says, you can do what you like, but you cannot do it as long as you like. And that comes to mind quickly. And there's another point here I want to raise, if you could. What would you say are the threats to our freedom? We know we're living in a time now where everyone seems to have an opinion as it relates to our government, the influence of North America, the influence of the international body in Barbados as relates not only to our budget and our financial matters, but to our social structures and our beliefs. What are some threats we have to the freedoms that you mentioned previously?
Well, one of the things that Family Freedom Faith Barbados has always recognized is that the decisions that we make, whether it be church, government, whatever, can have consequences for the country as a whole. Mm. And therefore, we want to ensure that when we make decisions, that they are, in fact, the right decisions. Now, I believe that if we stand back and watch something developing and do nothing about it, mm-hmm. That is probably one of the easiest ways to lose our freedom. If we look at Adolf Hitler, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We normally speak of him in terms of 1939-45, the World War. But long before the World War, there was an Adolf Hitler. And the Adolf Hitler was, you know, going from project to project, and somebody could have recognized that the pathway that he's taking is going to lead us into trouble. And then when it was too late, we were into World War II. 6 million Jews losing their lives, plus countless other millions, 60 million, some say up to 100 million losing their lives in a senseless war. So I'm saying that we have to be watchful. We have to be careful that when laws are enacted, that when people come up with suggestions that sound good, that we have to get down to the bottom of it. I remember a famous saying from one of our politicians when he said that it is the 2% in rat poison that kills. You know, and when I consider that, it is like Eve and Satan in the Garden of Eden. Yeah, have God said, he recognized that there's a God, he recognized that he speaks, so he had Eve in his corner, and then he moved in for the kill, but there's much more. So Family First Freedom is an organization which was born because things were happening in the island that were not really being spoken to, even by some of the religious organizations. And so we believe that we had to step in and be the watchman for the country.
Interesting. So I'm going to play the wolf at this point, and I'm going to throw the cat among the pigeons. Stir up the fry, as it were. Would you say that Barbados, as it relates to the freedoms that you would have just recognized, and looking at our spirituality, our history as a nation that has always seen God as being the ultimate and sovereign determination of our understanding of right and wrong. A lot of fancy words. What it really comes down to is Barbados has a history of recognizing God as being the supreme ruler, and we govern ourselves by his word. Generally speaking, we've had our shortcomings, we've governed ourselves by his word. Would you say in 2024 that freedom of worship is under threat?
I would say so. I'll tell you what, let's go back a bit. And sometimes you hear people make quotes that stick with you. And I remember the guy who said that when you lose something, the sensible thing to do is to go back to where you last had it, and start from there.
Trace it.
And if we went, go back to 1966, for example, that time I was 12 years old, at the garrison, watching the flag, you know, the flag go up and that sort of thing. It was a moment of pride. But then when we look at the changes that were made since then. Mm-hmm. When we look at the fact that, you know, at that time, children were very much under control. We had a system that was working. We can have another debate probably on whose fault it was that the families broke up. Some say the men started it. Some others will say the women finished it. But the thing about it is that the society that we have, We had, like, for example, I never came home from school a day yet, either primary school or secondary school, and not finding my mother home with a meal cup for the seven of us. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, in today's world, she would be considered a foolish woman. Go and get your own house, your own car, and all those sort of things, and your own land, and stand on your own 2 feet. But she made that sacrifice for us. Mm-hmm. And today, you know, she's gone on, but I can recognize the beauty of what she has done. But because of a few men who were unscrupulous and decided to came home and the food wasn't finished, they're going to throw the pot through you in and that sort of thing. Women decided, well, they are going to take things into their own hands. What happened is that they succeeded, but the children suffered. So whereas when they came home from primary school, 3 o'clock, maybe 3:15, then There was the goat to look after. There was the yard to sweep. There was things in the garden to be done. I am not saying to you that I enjoyed picking beans or that sort of thing. But there, we understood that we had a duty to do. Mm-hmm. Now mm-hmm. the youngsters come home from school and they have 3 or 4 hours because the parents are working and there's nobody home. So they have that time where they can get into mischief. So our society has changed so much. And one of these days, I would like somebody to go by a statistician and ask ourselves the question, how many murders were there in 1966? Mm. How many murders are there today?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we have to, and we can look at the crime situation. You know, it is becoming so sickening that I can't remember who got killed last week because that is still news. This is the society that we're living in. And I believe, and, you know, I will say always, because I believe that during the COVID period, that the church was treated with, I don't know if I should use the contempt, but that is the way I felt.
Mm-hmm.
Because so many other services were counted as essential services.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But in my situation, for example, if I had a member who was dying on the deathbed, I could not legally go and minister to that person because I could be picked up by the police for being outside the curtilage of my home. And I got the impression that the churches were sort of singled out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have a government department and there's a breakout, well, that's all right. But from the time 2 people in the church got COVID, there's a spread.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And people started to get the message that there is this, you know, this thing against the church. The church is not really important. You all go in the corner and shut up.
Mm.
And then we hear about people hanging themselves and the need for the psychiatrist because so many people, you know, they might not have died from COVID, but mentally they were, you know, they were destroyed.
Mm.
So I feel that our, you know, from that time, when it was sort of proclaimed that the church is not really an important, because look at it this way.
Mm-hmm.
If you were a minibus driver, I could get in your minibus and hand you a $20 bill, and you can give me back change. But if you came into my church and I handed you a sound sheet,
mm-hmm.
I could be charged $50,000. Right? They told you how to have communion. They told you how to do baptisms, how many people must go to church. And it was what my father called the devil, the thin edge of the devil's wedge, in that you got a little control. And now, as I said, the population at large seems to have got the message that the church doesn't really play much of an important part.
And there is a lot we could break down in that particular area, because I know persons have some very strong feelings as relates not only to COVID-19, but as you just highlighted, the protocols that were made at that time. However, we have an argument that could be made, especially in light of the fact that we are now seen as being an advanced economy. We are seen as being an advanced nation. We are recognized on the international platform. And an argument could be made that we are free. We, as you mentioned, independence, as you mentioned, the fact that we are now a republic, as we look to the fact that we have several ethnic groups in this country that are free to worship, they have established their faith-based systems. The argument can be made, Pastor, that we are free. We have freedoms that we enjoy that other nations may not enjoy. Barbados is seen as a stable country. There are other areas in the world where, if we only look at the recent elections where there was a complete change of government, there would have been riots. But we have a stable, peaceful people.
Mm-hmm.
And our people have the freedom to worship, to do what they believe is right in their own eyes. So my question to you as we conclude would be, what can we say to that argument? Can we say that there is such a thing as true freedom? And the reason I believe that this needs to be discussed would be that if we are not careful, Pastor, we would not recognize that it is a mirage, an illusion. Because freedom, and you would have highlighted this before, freedom can only exist within the confines of structure. So what is true freedom, Pastor Carl?
Okay, let us understand something. We lived in a world that was cursed by God himself. Mm-hmm. And the Bible teaches that we are born in sin. Iniquity, our mothers conceived us in iniquity. So we start from the point of view that we are really slaves. Slaves, let me put it this way. We used to talk about the men, so I'll continue. The men used to work a whole week. The ladies are home looking after the children, keeping the house in order. And the man says, I am my own man. I am free. Mm-hmm. So when he leaves his workplace, he stops by the nearest shop, have a few drinks with the fellas, and come home. He comes home 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and the money, a lot of the money, has gone. Now, he could say that he was free. Mm. But yet, every week, as a slave, he has to go into that shop. Mm. He has to interact with the fellas. He has to spend money on that. Even though in a sober moment, he may say, well, this is foolishness. But yet, every Friday, he has to stop there.
Yes.
So we have to understand that we come up in a world where we are not. It's like a vacuum. My brother used to make a statement that a vacuum will be filled. And it is either you worship God or you become Satan's football. And that is the problem we have, is that too many people do not even recognize when they are being kicked around. And that is something that I am asking myself, are we free in that regard? You know, people walk the road and claim that they must have freedom because they want to kill every unborn child, whether they're, you know, for most reasons or sometimes no reason at all. And they don't understand that they're under the control of someone who would look to see the extinction of the human race. So we have to ask ourselves the question, as you rightly asked, what is true freedom? And that is why in Exodus chapter 21, we have a situation where we talked about Hebrew slavery. You couldn't keep a Hebrew slave for more than 6 years, and the seventh year you had to release him. But you know that some slaves after the time would say to the master, I love my master, my wife, and my children. I will not go out free. And the master would take him before the judges, pierce his ear on an awl, and he would say, you are my slave forever. And that is why I love this song, My Glorious Victor, Prince Divine. And one of the statements that he makes is, thy bonds are freedom. Thy bonds are freedom. In other words, the restrictions that God seems to put on you are always for your benefit, my benefit, rather than his. Case in point, Samson was told to behave in a particular way. Samson was strong enough and he decided he was going to do his own thing. When he lost his eyes, God could still see. Delilah did not cause God's eyes, to be taken out. But it was Samson who lost his eyesight. You know, as sometimes we say to our children, when you're crossing the road, look left, look right, and all that. And the child goes to school, my parents talking foolishness, man. I can run across the road anytime. But when the child is struck, the parent will feel it from a position of parental anguish.
Yes.
But it's the child who will lay in hospital. So I am saying that the freedom that we want is not really true freedom. True freedom only exists when we allow God, as it were, to pierce our ears and we say to him, I am going to stay with you I recognize that your policies are the best, that your wisdom, there's no wisdom like your wisdom, and therefore I want to be with you for the rest of my life. So this is the, as I said, this is the only true freedom that we can talk about. When we say to God, your bonds mm-hmm. are the only freedom. Like Paul says, I am a slave. I am a slave to Jesus Christ.
Amen. And I believe that's a beautiful point to end our program on. Again, we wanted to give thanks to the Federal Motor Spirits for sponsoring this program, the Because He Lives program, brought to you as well by the Barbados District of the Nazarene Church. And this is our second program, or should I say this is one of the many programs we've been doing, on the Faith Family Freedom Barbados as it relates to their programs, or should I say, as relates to the message we want to share coming from this organization. Thank you again for listening to this program. This has been the Because He Lives program, brought to you with the kind compliments of Federal Motor Spirits as well as the Barbados District of the Nazarene Church. And this is but one of several programs we're going to have on behalf of Family Faith Freedom Barbados as a group concerned with the spiritual development of this country.
Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this program, where the contents of it, dear God, would challenge us to be a better people for you, dear God. And we discuss that true freedom can be only found in and through you and the obedience of your word. I pray, dear God, that we would hearken to your word and be a better people for you. Strong families to build stronger nations. Bless this program, dear God. Let it be a blessing to your people's hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Worth the living just because.